If you've ever sat in the back of a charter jet and wondered where most of that fuel bill actually goes, the honest answer is drag. Not headwinds, not altitude, drag. The fundamental inefficiency baked into nearly every tube and wing design flying corporate passengers today. That's the problem a company called Otto Aviation has been trying to solve for years. And this week they announced they're betting big enough on their answer to build a factory around it. I'm Tower and this is Otis on Radio Hangar. Let's get into it. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Now, Otto Aviation. If that name sounds familiar but you can't quite place it, you may be thinking of their earlier aircraft, the Solera 500L. That was the bullet-shaped proof of concept that looked like something out of a 1940s science fiction magazine. A fuselage so smooth and elongated, it almost didn't look like an airplane. The whole point of that unusual shape was laminar flow. And laminar flow is everything to this company. Here's a quick refresher on the physics, because this is the foundation of everything Otto is doing. Most aircraft flying today operate in what engineers call turbulent boundary layer flow. Air hits the leading edge of the wing, the fuselage, the tail surfaces, and almost immediately transitions into turbulent flow. That turbulence creates friction drag. A lot of it, the number you hear cited frequently, is that skin friction drag accounts for roughly 40 to 50% of total drag on a typical commercial or business aircraft. Half your drag is just air molecules bumping and swirling against the skin of the airplane. Laminar flow is the alternative. When you engineer a surface with exactly the right contour, and you keep it smooth enough and you manage the pressure gradient correctly, the air flowing over that surface stays in smooth, parallel layers. Laminar, the friction it creates is dramatically lower. We're talking about drag reductions on the order of 50 to 60% on the surfaces where you achieve it. The problem is that laminar flow is finicky. Insects on the leading edge can trip it. Rain can trip it. A seam that's a fraction of a millimeter too high can trip it. That's why most aircraft designers going back decades have treated extensive natural laminar flow as a nice theoretical goal and a practical engineering headache. You design for it, you get some of it, and then real-world operations give you considerably less. Otto's argument is that they've cracked the manufacturing and design process to make it reliable. Their Solera 500L demonstrator flew quiet test programs that they claimed validated laminar flow performance well beyond what conventional designs achieve. They weren't exactly forthcoming with the data in those early years, which made a lot of aviation observers skeptical. That skepticism was fair. Plenty of companies have promised revolutionary efficiency and delivered incremental improvements at best, but Otto has continued moving forward, and the announcement this week is significant precisely because they're now committing capital to infrastructure. According to Flying Magazine, Otto Aviation has announced plans to build a manufacturing facility in Florida with groundbreaking targeted for 2028. The aircraft they intend to produce there is the Phantom 3500, and their stated ambition is to certify the Phantom 3500, begin deliveries around 2030, and then produce approximately 1,600 aircraft over the following decade. Let's sit with those numbers for a moment. 1,600 business jets in 10 years is not a trivial production target. For context, Gulfstream, one of the dominant players in large cabin business jets, produces somewhere in the range of 130 to 150 aircraft per year. Textron Aviation, which makes Cessna Citations and Beechcraft jets, has similar scale. 1,600 jets over 10 years puts Otto targeting something in the range of 160 aircraft annually at full production. That would place them as a significant player in the bizjet market if they achieve it. The if is doing a lot of work in that sentence, and we should be honest about that. Otto is still a startup in the context of certified aircraft manufacturing. They have not yet received Federal Aviation Administration type certification for the Phantom 3500. They have announced a manufacturing facility they plan to break ground on in 2028, 2 years from now, and they've set a delivery target of around 2030. That is an ambitious timeline for a company that hasn't yet delivered a certified production aircraft. The aviation industry has a long history of ambitious timelines that proved optimistic. Boom Supersonic, which we've covered on this show, has been working toward their Overture supersonic transport and has faced repeated schedule adjustments. Eviation Aircraft and their Alice Electric Commuter have faced certification hurdles that push timelines out. Even established manufacturers with decades of FAA experience regularly see new type certificates take longer than originally projected. So the skepticism is warranted, but let's also be fair to what Otto is actually saying. They're not claiming the Phantom 3500 is certified today. They're not claiming they have a factory. They're announcing the next phase of their development program with a specific location, a specific timeline, and a specific production goal. That's actually more concrete than a lot of what we hear from emerging aerospace companies, which often operate in a fog of vague aspirations and rendering images. Florida makes strategic sense as a location for reasons beyond just the weather, though the weather matters for flight testing. The state has been actively courting aerospace manufacturing. L3Harris has major operations there. Embraer has a presence. There's an existing talent pipeline in aerospace engineering and precision manufacturing, and the proximity to major business aviation markets on the East Coast has logistical advantages for early customer delivery and support operations. Now let's talk about the aircraft itself. Because the Phantom 3500 is a different animal from the Calera 500L demonstrator, where the Calera 500L had that distinctive bullet fuselage optimized for laminar flow performance in a single demonstrator airframe. The Phantom 3500 is Otto's attempt to translate their technology into a marketable business jet. The name suggests a large cabin aircraft. The 3500 likely refers to range capability and nautical miles, which would position it in the large cabin long-range segment of the market. That's the segment where you're competing with aircraft like the Gulfstream G500, the Bombardier Challenger 650, and similar platforms. That's a competitive arena. Buyers of large cabin business jets are not typically price-sensitive early adopters willing to accept developmental risk for the promise of lower fuel costs. They're sophisticated operators who care about reliability, dispatch availability, cabin amenity, and support infrastructure. The fuel savings pitch is real, though, if Otto can deliver on their laminar flow performance claims. A business jet burning 40 to 50% less fuel per hour is a genuinely transformative operating cost proposition. Depending on how you model utilization, that could represent millions of dollars in savings over a fleet's operational life for a charter operator or fractional provider. For a corporate flight department running the aircraft 200 to 300 hours a year, the savings are meaningful, but not necessarily the primary purchase driver. Where fuel efficiency becomes a compelling market argument is in the current environment around sustainability pressure. Large corporations operating business jet fleets face increasing scrutiny over their carbon footprint. A bizjet that genuinely burns dramatically less fuel isn't just an operating cost story. It's a corporate responsibility story. That's a messaging framework that didn't exist in business aviation 10 years ago and is increasingly part of how fleet decisions get made in corporate boardrooms. Otto will need to demonstrate that efficiency advantage convincingly and repeatedly before operators are willing to stake fleet decisions on it. That means real-world performance data, not just engineering projections. It means showing that the laminar flow performance holds up over a fleet in actual operations, not just pristine test aircraft flying ideal profiles. The certification path is where the rubber meets the runway. FAA type certification for a new aircraft in the Part 25 transport category is an extensive process involving years of testing, documentation, and regulatory review. For a company with a novel technology like extensive natural laminar flow, there may be certification precedents that don't exist yet. The FAA may require demonstration data that simply hasn't been collected before. That's not an insurmountable barrier, but it adds time and cost to the program. The 2030 delivery target, announced today with a 2028 manufacturing hub groundbreaking, leaves roughly 2 years from factory opening to first delivery for a certified transport category aircraft that is tight. Most new type programs take considerably longer from first metal cut to first delivery. Again, not impossible. Otto may be further along in certification than the public announcement suggests, but it's a timeline that deserves scrutiny. Here's what I'd watch for over the next 2 years as this program develops. Watch for the FAA type certificate application. When Otto submits their application and the FAA formally accepts it, that establishes the official certification basis. The date of that acceptance and the terms of the certification basis tell you a lot about how the program is actually progressing. Watch for announced customers. Manufacturers typically secure orders before building factories. A 1600 aircraft, decade-long production plan requires substantial committed order book to justify the capital investment. If Otto announces firm orders from named operators, fractional providers, or charter companies, that's a meaningful signal that sophisticated buyers have done their diligence and concluded the aircraft is real. Watch for any public performance data from the demonstrator program. If Otto releases validated fuel burn numbers, range figures or efficiency comparisons against current aircraft, that moves the conversation from aspiration to evidence. And watch for the Florida facility itself. Groundbreaking ceremonies are relatively easy to hold. Actual construction progressing on schedule is a more reliable indicator. None of this is to say Otto won't deliver. The underlying physics of laminar flow are sound. The efficiency gains are real if you can achieve them consistently. The market for a genuinely more efficient large cabin business jet is substantial, and the industry could genuinely use a new entrant pushing the technology envelope in a segment that has seen mostly incremental refinement in recent years. Business aviation has historically been fertile ground for innovation. The turboprop revolution that brought us aircraft like the Piper Navajo and Beechcraft King Air came from engineers willing to challenge existing assumptions about how to move people efficiently. The original Citation was derided as the slowest jet in the world when it entered service, then found a market niche and launched a family of aircraft that has served general aviation operators for decades. The Honda Jet introduced an over-the-wing engine mount that every expert said would create aerodynamic problems, and it turned out Honda had done the computational fluid dynamics correctly. Otto may be on to something real. 2028 will tell us whether the factory rises. 2030 will tell us whether the aircraft flies with customers aboard. And the decade after that will tell us whether 1600 jets was a vision or a fantasy. For now, it's a story worth watching. Sources on this segment include Flying Magazine, more at RadioHanger.com. I'm Tower. Safe skies.